Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is My Wardrobe Malfunction, the podcast about clothes and bloody everything else, really. This is season 8 and episode 58, which means if you've been living under a rock and you haven't found us before, we've dozens of episodes for you to enjoy, including chats with so many Strictly legends: Stacey Dooley, Joe Sugg, Deborah Meaden, Michelle Visage, Reverend Richard Coles, Ashley Roberts, and yes, Mr. Twinkle Toes, Anton Tubeck. But today, I'm delighted to say we have the Grand Fromage herself. It's Strictly Come Dancing head judge, Shirley Ballas. Before we begin, don't forget we have our own live show, and I promise I won't be dancing, on Sunday, 7th of November at Yvonne Arnault Theatre in Guildford. It'll be live streaming too. More on that at the end of the episode. But for now, let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. Hello, everybody. Today I'm with someone who, it kind of feels sort of weird because the only time I've met this amazing woman, I was in absolute fear for my life, and my life literally depended on her. And so I'd like to introduce the most wonderful, undisputed queen of Latin and head judge on Strictly, Shirley Ballas. How are you, Shirley?
Well, that's quite an introduction. That is really quite lovely. Yes, I'm fine, thank you, and delighted to be here with you.
Oh, it's so nice to see you, because it's like we never get to meet you properly. And although you're so familiar and you have, you know, we've watched you for all the time you've been the head judge, and we feel we know you, I never got the privilege to actually get to know you properly, which was a shame.
Oh, well, we've got this special time together.
Exactly.
So this is really nice.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you'll be starting up soon, but when obviously not here to only talk about Strictly, but I do have to mention it. And the one question I do want to ask is, do you think you massively overmarked me by giving me 3 points for my samba to Tico Tico?
No.
Do you remember that? It was a disaster.
Of course I remember, but there were certain things that you did well in your samba, certain things that you did very, very well, and they warranted getting a good mark.
Well, 3 is, you know, considering the rest of them, 3 was a good mark. But all I can remember, I kind of watched it back the other day, and all I could see was basically Ava Peron's corpse kind of being wielded around by Anton, and then being chucked across the dance floor like a sort of giant sack, orange sack of potatoes. So it wasn't my finest moment.
But did you enjoy the experience of being on the show?
You know what? I hated every minute of the dancing, and but I loved the experience, and I loved the friendships I made, and it was sort of almost like going back in time to the 1940s and being on a huge movie set. It was such an amazingly slick operation, and every single person was delightful. So from that perspective, I adored it.
Well, that's amazing. And what are you thinking about the cast that's been set so far?
I think it's looking really interesting. Don't you? I'm excited.
I was excited to see Dan Walker today. He's already got full shoulder lines and tall. And will he make a ballroom dancer? Won't he make a ballroom dancer?
Well, you will know, Charlie, and you've got the lovely Anton. I'm so pleased he's made it to judge.
Yeah, he's such a, I mean, I've known him all my life. I mean, he's competed in the same industry And we've been friends for a long, long time. So I'm absolutely, you know, delighted that his bucket list came true and we'll be sitting next to each other through the whole course of the series, God willing. And yes, I'm sure he will add so many wonderful, finer points to the show. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think he's sort of will find his kind of next natural role after being a ballroom dancer in that. So, I mean, do you think anyone can learn to ballroom dance, or are there exceptions that prove the rule? Because that's what Anton did actually say to me. There are some people who just will never get it.
I think everybody can learn, even if it's just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, or samba bounce, samba bounce. It depends to what level. I mean, my mum's 84. I can pick her up. I can do a little waltz with her. I can do a little samba bounce with her. So I believe everybody can do a little bit of dancing if it's kept super simple.
Yeah.
What you do is you go out into this, you know, millions of people watching you every week. And that's when it becomes a little bit more difficult because you're under pressure to learn it in 1 week. As where other people, you'll have to let them in. So sorry.
Other people
take more time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's funny though, you know, with the, you think about, people mention the audience and the fact that it is being watched by millions of people. Sorry, my dogs are bloody barking.
Your dog's barking, my doorbell's ringing.
It's life. It's life is going on around us as we're speaking. But I think that you are watching, you know, as a contestant, you know you're being watched by millions of people. And funny enough, I found that okay. What I found the most terrifying was this sort of panel of godlike figures, i.e. yourself and the rest of the judges. And it's putting yourself forward to be judged, I think is one of the hardest things to overcome. And I don't know how you found that when you were starting out in your career as a ballroom dancer.
I just used to see everybody as just another person going about their average day, you know, like another day at the office. We're trained like that as top competitors, not to fear the panel that's in front of you. But again, I feel some of the fear with the panel comes from the fact that you have such a short space of time to get your act together. If I gave you 6 months to do a samba, trust me, you would be very excited to get out there and show me. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's
no
true.
Timeline when people want to learn to dance. The exciting part about Strictly is you have a week, or at the beginning you get a couple of weeks to introduce yourself to it, and then it starts to go quite fast, and you have this 1 week to get everything together, the timing, the steps, a little bit of technique if you can, synchronizing with your partner and staying on time to the music. So my advice to anybody who does that show is don't worry about what the judges do. When I can speak for myself, well, I can speak for Motsy too, I'm there to try to find the good in what you do and to give you some little tips, if you like, some little nuggets that you can take away that will improve what you're not doing so well for the next week. I'm not there to think, oh, that was bad. I think I can find the good in pretty much anything you do. You know, I mean, of course, my own son was on Dancing with the Stars for many, many years, and I would go every week, and then some comment would be thrown out without thought from an adjudicator, and wouldn't be thinking about that hard work that person has just spent hours and hours, 50 hours a week, perfecting. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. So I think it's important to still be encouraging with people that they do feel there's a lifeline to continue for the next week.
Absolutely. And I think that is so, what you're saying is so relevant to you, because you do give advice, and it's very, I mean, you're very eloquent, and the ability to be able to do that in nugget size bites is a skill. You know, it's a journalist can do that at the drop of a hat, but you can do it too. And that's what I love about you in particular, and Motsy as well, but is the way you give advice without playing up to the TV audience. You know, it's genuine and it's authentic. And of course there's got to be a balance. But
I just love music and dancing. It's in my body, it's in my soul. It doesn't matter where I am, I love to watch it. And I can remember that on one of the weeks having a little, not a run-in with Craig, but I was commenting on somebody's technique, and he goes, they don't need to know technique. Well, let me tell you, if you don't learn a little technique in the first 4 weeks, you'll never get to the end. So as the show, let's say it's got 13 weeks to it. You need at least on the first 5 weeks to be constantly trying to put a little bit of technique underneath your body so that when you've suddenly got two dances and group dances and a finale and you've got to do a big exhibition number as well as two numbers you've done before, you have to have a little bit underneath your body. Mm. So that's why I'm so adamant. I'm not looking for world championship level technique, but I am looking for a little bit.
Yeah, for some. But don't you get frustrated watching and thinking, I wish I could just get out there and just, you know, say, okay, let's put your leg in this position, or let's, I know you can say it with words, but it is, so much of it is about that physical contact. And I wonder if you get frustrated by not being someone's mentor and not being someone's partner on the show.
If I was on the end and sat where Craig was, I would be up and showing leg actions because I can do it and show it quick. Because sometimes people are auditory, they learn by listening. And sometimes people are visual and they learn by watching. Most people are visual. They need to see the shape. They need to see how the arms are designed through space. They need to understand exactly what you're talking about, standing on a straight leg. You know, you standing leg. What on earth does that mean? Do you know what I'm saying? So I often would love to give tips as being as experienced as I am. I'd like to give more tips to allow people to be, you know, better at what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, speaking personally from, you know, from personal experience, I think that's something I would have really benefited from is because, and I think especially women are far more visual than men are. I think men kind of can take on board tips and oh God, my mind's gone totally blank.
Well, a woman will never move like a man and a man will never move like a woman.
Exactly.
It takes a certain experience, you know. And now, of course, we're going to have the same sex. So it's like movement to music. It's like each person has to be coordinated and they have to bring that coordination skill. You know, it doesn't matter man, woman, two men, two women. It doesn't exactly matter who you're dancing with. It's those coordination skills, like you said, and as many tips as possible. And that's what I will be doing. I will be constantly trying my best to bring a few simple things that people will understand to improve themselves week in and week out.
Brilliant. I cannot wait. And to be honest, I literally, before I got asked to do the show, I'd barely watched it. And much to my regret, because I think if I had watched it, I would have really appreciated the joy and, you know, such as it is, and it's immense, and the fact it is all about letting go, and it doesn't matter, you know, you're not going to go out there, like you say, and be a perfect kind of world-class dancer, which I was expecting, and did think when I was leading up to the first dance, I remember saying to Anton, you know what, I think we're going to do really well, and he kind of looked at me and raised an eyebrow, and I said, you know, I think, you know, this is a great dance, but I think we need to have a bit of a razzmatazz at the end, and suggested the kind of being chucked onto the floor, which was such a disaster. But that, you know, the confidence was there and he was so amazing. And then you get out and it's a different story.
And just one other small point. For
yes.
You.
Tell me.
Don't underestimate the power of the voting viewer.
Yeah. Well, they weren't with me.
You get a 2 or a 3 or a 1 or a this.
Yeah.
If you become a national treasure favorite, they can take you much further than you anticipated going. So rather than being fearful to anybody else who might be doing the show, don't be fearful of the judges. Work a lot more towards the audience. Because
okay,
they
yeah,
are the people that bring you back week in and week out.
Yeah, that's very, very good advice. And I read somewhere, Shelley, that for you, that was something that was quite hard when you were selected to be a head judge. I mean, that must have been a difficult thing to step from being a professional dancer and that being your background to suddenly going in front of the TV cameras to being on the other side almost. I mean, how easy did you find that?
It was the most difficult thing I ever did in my life. I wanted to pee my pants every time I sat down. I was so terrified. It was not easy. So when I was the very, very first of all, when I got the job at 57, who would have ever thought, you know, and it was my son who pushed me because I was being bullied in my own industry. And he said, I think you should try for Uncle Len's job. We've known Len since before Mark was born. And, you know, to cut a long story short, he pushed me into it. I went, I did terrible on the first interview, great on the second interview. But when it actually came to the night, I had a diary And I wanted to say everything. And then I had to realize you've got short bullet points, 15 seconds to get your point across. I remember standing at the back of the stage. My knees were going, quivering. My zip on my dress had broken. And they were trying to sew me in it. And the sweat was dripping all down my back. I could feel it. You know, now I've had that experience as a world-class competitor going into major finals to win world titles and what have you. But to have it when you're just standing there, when your leg, you can't barely walk one foot in front of the other. So I know what it feels like to be coming down those stairs. You know, I sympathize. I get it. I've been there. I'm not somebody who's all mouth. I have been in the same shoes as those people that are coming down those stairs. I know exactly how they feel. I know exactly how you felt. And when things go wrong, I'm not one to mark somebody to go wrong. I want to see how you get it going and re-pick it back up, because I'm more likely to give you an extra point from that than a point for deducting for the mistakes you make. So everybody's different in the way that they judge. I have my own system. You know, every person who gets out in Strictly and puts themselves in a vulnerable position in front of 15 million people every week, I take off my hat. Because
I mean, what you're saying is, I mean, that can be adopted for life. You know, the way you look at the world and the way you know, it's looking at the world as a glass half full as opposed to a half glass empty, and looking for the good in everything. And also, I think it's kind of, it turns towards gratitude. It's being grateful for doing a little point right, or holding your middle finger, your swear finger, in the right way, as I call it, when you're holding your arms. And, you know, that is how we should look at life. And is that how you look at life? Are you a glass half full person?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, I have the most iconic mother ever. She's going to be 84. I just decided to take 2 days up and go and see her up north. So I took her out for lunch, and then she said to me, "I want to go down Matthew Street, Shirley, and I want to go and have a drink and a little dance." I said, "Mother, what a virus." She looked at me, she said, "Got to die of something, Shirley, something." 84, you know, or still positive. In she goes, up dancing, got the mask on, got a little whiskey, giving it a boogie and a shake. And I'm sat there thinking, oh my gosh, is this virus in here? And she goes, "Relax, enjoy yourself. You've been double vaccinated." I have not heard one negative remark out of my mother, and it's not a word of a lie, since she got cancer, since we've been through this pandemic. She's never negative about losing her son. You know, everything out of my mother's mouth is positive, and I think that that's what I've learned with her. And she watches the show. She watches it. When she watches her series to me, you know, my son had said, "Oh, your face is a bit scary, Mum." And so I call my mum. I said, "Mark thinks I look a bit scary." She says, "Oh, I did this when I saw you." Soften your edges a bit, girls. Soften your edges. They're not all in there to be world champions. She said, "You just bring that more lovable side of you that we all know. You know, you're not training them to win the British." So I thought that was okay. So I was watching myself in the mirror and sort of, because I can be a little bit, "Come on now, Susanna, straighten that leg. What is that?" You know, rather than, "Now, could we work a little bit more on that straight leg? I think we can. Now, how could we do it?" Blah, 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 blah. So I was re-practicing how I could come across positive, constructive, but myself without being scary.
Yeah. Well, you've nailed it, is all I can say. I wish in the moment I could have appreciated that more. And but no, you are amazing. And what's even more amazing was going, you know, if we go back to the beginning, you grew up in Liverpool, and your parents split up when you were, was it 2 years old? And your mum's called Audrey, is that right?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Oh, Auds. Okay. And Auds and your brother David, and you moved into a flat on a housing estate. And it was, it was tough, wasn't it, for you at the beginning?
It was, you know, really, really difficult. I mean, even this weekend, we went for this little lunch, and this lady jumped out and said, "Hi, Shirley." And my mind's going back and I'm thinking, who is this lady? Ended up being a good friend of mine called Hazel Cook. And I remembered her living opposite the flat, and her mother had a big chest freezer. And they used to shop at Iceland, and they had all this food. And we didn't even have a fridge or a telephone, or my mum managed to get this little Oscol thing that kept your butter from going greasy. And it all came flooding back, you know, all these memories from living on this childhood estate with these friends. Yeah, it was difficult, but it was community.
I was just going to say, you would have benefited from an amazing community.
And out of the streets and watching
each course.
More street smart, you know, than being in a bubble, I found.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that kids today have, unfortunately, have lacked. And, you know, the background you're talking about is disappearing. And I think that's so sad. That sense of community is something we all need. But I do feel slightly, Charlene, I don't know if you feel this, that the pandemic has kind of reinstated that.
The pandemic has brought everybody a lot more together, I feel. I mean, even my mum, she's not really an overly neighbourly person, but our neighbours would check in on her when I wasn't there, and did she have enough food, and was she okay? And she actually got to know neighbours both sides of her house, which was wonderful. Mm. And even in my own complex, coming out on that Thursday night and clapping with the pan lids and everything else, just being able to see everybody supporting one another. So I'm hoping when we get back to normal, even though it will be a new normal, I'm hoping that this community type spirit will always continue, and that people will not forget the pandemic. I know people say, I just want to move on. Don't forget it and forget what it brought as well. You know, this community, this sense of appreciation for the NHS. It's the best medical system in the world. You know, maybe we took it all for granted. You know, I've lived in the United States. I've been in that, you know, care where they chop your left leg off instead of your right leg, and, you know, everything you have to pay for. And then you come back here and it's like just a different world. And I'm hoping that people will not forget that.
Yeah, I hope so too. And it's kind of funny because I that's something that I'm a bit glass half empty about, because if you look at also how quickly we've taken on this new way of living. I mean, it's been 18 months, but I look at people walking down the street, and if they're not wearing a mask, it jars. Not because I'm worried or scared, it's just like, that's a bit strange. Or even if I'm watching something on television now and I'm, you know, watching EastEnders or Coronation Street or something, I think, why aren't they wearing masks? And it's so, and then you've got this whole new language that this vocabulary that we've all learned, like that. So it's amazing how the human race has adapted. And I just hope, like you say, the community spirit and looking after each other and looking out for each other stays.
I spoke to Sarah James about Strictly, you know, when we had the first Strictly, of course, there was lots of rules, but it's actually going to be more difficult to him this time around than it was last time around. So, you know, because now more things have been implemented and more rules, as we were learning at the beginning about the virus. And now that we've got much more information, she wants to put many more rules in place just for the safety and the protection of everybody. But I'm a little bit like you. I'd never leave the house without my mask. I would never leave the house without my gel. And I just look that I can only be responsible for myself.
Yeah, sorry. My beloved husband slamming the door. But I wonder how long we'll be like that. I wonder how long. I think it's going to take a long time to wind down.
I'm not sure. I don't think that the virus is going anywhere. I just think that we need to learn to live with it. And it will be like any of the childhood diseases. We've had the chicken pox. We've had the whatever. We've had the plagues and the this. We learn to adapt. We learn to live with it. After this, there'll be something else, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we learn it. So maybe it's just good practice. It's a good practice run. And I do feel that it put people more alert on their own hygiene, because I'd sometimes go into a bathroom with friends, they'd walk out without washing their hands. Mm. Or, you know, when you touch things now, you're much more, let me do my hands, let me carry my wipes. You're more conscious. And I think that's a good thing for flu. I think it's a good thing for passing on normal germs, not just, you know, this virus.
See, I don't know if I agree with that, because I just think, you know, if you, the more germs you have around you, especially as a child, the more resilient you are. And if we're too kind of
get rid of germs, they're always can protect ourselves perhaps a little bit from the flus and the this and the that with the mask and the you know, the gel. So I think, of course, it's been difficult living throughout the pandemic. I mean, I was one who struggled with anxiety and several other things. But at the end of the day, it's onwards and upwards. We just have to keep moving forward, because the life goes that quick.
Yeah, so true.
Been sad for so many families who've lost loved ones, and, you know, even people who are anti-vaxxers, you know, I've been reading up a lot on that. And oh, they get out there and they march. And then unfortunately, you know, one dad who's had father of two or four, you know, passed away at 42, and then another one passed and another one passed. To each his own choice and decision. Me, I'm glad I took the vaccine.
Yeah, same here.
Glad I wear my mask. I'm glad I did my hand gel. But this weekend, my 84-year-old mother actually gave me the confidence and the courage, let's go out. Down Matthew Street, which was shoulder to shoulder, go into those little, you know, pub things and sit. We found a nice table and we'd get up and have a little dance together. And she's 84 and she doesn't want to be stuck in a house. She's courageous. She's got courage. She's double vaccinated. So she said, you know, I'm going to go out. I'll put my mask. I'll do my things. And that's the way it's going to be. So they
has she always been like that? Because was she the one who encouraged you to start ballet? Because you started when you were 2 years old. You could barely stand
just
at 2 years old.
Shoes. I've just found my ballet shoes from two. I have. They're small, they're tiny, and my son's ballet shoes and his first swim shoes. My mother's always been like that. A very, very positive influence. A girl about town. Loved her life. You know, she loved it the most when she was in a barmaid, I think, and having fun with people, and she's a people person. She always tries to tell me she's very shy. I'd love to do Gogglebox with her, but she's always trying to tell me she's very shy. But when I put her behind my camera lens for my social media, she's just right there and giving it large. So she's just a natural.
You have to do Gogglebox with her. Please tell Audrey the nation is missing out. We need to see Audrey.
Not know what's hit them if she was on Gogglebox. If she sees a naked body on Naked Attraction. Oh, have mercy.
That show is hilarious, Naked Attraction. Oh my God. I just can't believe it. Can you? It's kind of, you start watching and then you can't stop. And I just think,
well, I've watched
How do these people do it?
And I tried to talk to my mother about it. Of course, she does not agree with people going on and taking their clothes off. But what it did for me is it showed me that people are all different shapes and sizes and everything is great.
Yeah, everything is great.
Everything is great. It's not easy to walk out without your kit on at the end, you know, but these girls do it confidently and it's their human body. And I don't think the show makes it disgraceful. I think it gives certain tips about different things, you know, to do with the human body. So, yeah, it's interesting. Mm.
And confidence, I think confidence is the sexiest thing in a man or a woman. If you've got confidence.
Could you stand there on Naked Attraction with your kit off?
Not a chance.
Only because it's kind of, you go out there and you want to be attractive and to be perceived as attractive. That's the part that I struggle with. If I'm going out, you go out and you take the piss a bit, then fine. But not a bloody chance.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is ballroom where your love of clothes came from? Because you adore clothes, don't you? And you adore the glamour of it all. And did that come from the amazing outfits you've worn in your career?
See, now this is an interesting question because I am much more a casual dresser and don't consider myself to be a fashion icon in any shape or form. The dresses that you see strictly come with the job. the dresses in my industry come with the job. You don't have a choice. That's the kind of glam that you wear. And my stylist, Alexandra, who I've had from day one of Strictly, she just now, she said, okay, Shirley, this is the day we're going to go and get all your dresses and your clothes. I couldn't think of a more nightmare day. She gives me 50 dresses. They're all hung up. She said, I am the quickest person. It's on, it's look, it's twist. Next, on, it's off, it's twist. You like it, you don't like it. I don't need to stand for 10 minutes. Just tell me if that's what you've got in your mind. So I wouldn't say that I'm much more comfortable in a nice blouse, leggings and jogging suit maybe even. So the glamour you see on me is because it comes with the job that I do.
Okay, it's, and it's, how long?
That's a uniform for me. Yeah, my uniform.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. For me, there's nothing worse than having to try on outfits, whether it's for a shoot or whatever. For me, that's the worst part of it. And but how long does it, when you're going through that, how long does it take you to hit the wall and go, I can't try on another bloody dress? How long does that take?
Alexandra knows that she better move fast, because after a couple of hours she knows that we need to go and get a coffee and then we can come back and perhaps do a little bit more. But I trust my stylist with my life. I really do. She is the professional, so I know that she understands my body now, what will suit me, what won't suit me. She always gives me a choice, and sometimes I say, oh, well, I'll go with that, and she'll, well, I think this one will look the best, and she's always right. And the same with Jane and the hair and the makeup. You know, I very, very rarely question. Maybe sometimes I'll ask, can I have it up? Or I think this season I want to try some wigs.
Yes, yes. Do it. Do it. Yes.
So I think I might want to try a short red wig for different theme weeks or something, like maybe a long one. Maybe, I don't know, because Motsy wears them and she looks fantastic.
She's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. You can change every week. So I think I want to do a little bit more of that. I'm just in talks with Jane about that. But no, I have a great team that I trust. So I don't really get involved. I don't tread on their toes because they are the professionals, not me.
Yeah. What bliss to have that. I mean, but it is, you do have to feel comfortable. I mean, don't you find if you're, yes, you trust your team, but if you put something on and maybe Alexandra says to you, you know what? No, Shirley, that looks amazing. Seriously. And you're going, well, it doesn't feel quite right. No, it really looks, trust me.
That's why I went with that opening outfit last year that was made for me, that was beautiful, purple, and the big, most uncomfortable thing. It squashed every little bit that I had, all me bits and bobs and bobs bits. It squashed everything. It fantastic. Had no stretch. But if you stood still, it looked stunning. Mm. But I did tell her this year, I said, I want something comfortable, floaty, I can sit in. It's a long day, you know, the launch show. Mm. It's a long day if you're uncomfortable. So she works hard. We found shoes that are comfortable. And, you know, the design, the dress was lovely. It just, if it has no give in, it's very uncomfortable.
But you have to feel when you look in the mirror that you look good, because otherwise you're, I mean, speaking from experience, it's like if you feel you look shit, then your confidence goes. You as a judge and to a certain extent as a performer on the show, if you're not thinking I look pretty good, it makes it harder, doesn't it?
1,000% harder, particularly in my case. But I've got friends who, you know, let's say have a rounded physique and they come out and they just have all this confidence and I'm in awe of them. Because I look at myself and I'm the type of person, if I'm wearing a dress, I don't want one ridge in the dress. You know where your bra meets and your panty line meets? I would rather wear Spanx all in one, right over the bust, right over your bits and bobs, right down to your knees and have no line. If I can see a line, I wouldn't be able to walk on TV. I wouldn't.
Mm. But that must, because you're a dancer and that's how you've had to, all your life, train your body, I imagine. It's like you couldn't afford, not because it was, you couldn't be overweight, but just to have that kind of, that perfect seamless form, and I imagine that translates to,
I think in today's society, you know, you can be an XXX plus size, let's say, but they have now the most magnificent underwear to wear underneath their clothes. They really, really do, you know, that really curve the boobies and in the waist, and that, you know, can make just not all the ridges. I'm just not a rich person. If you're going to wear tight clothing, wear appropriate underwear.
Absolutely. Spanx all the way, all the way. I mean, Trini and I actually...
I've got a drawer full of Spanx. I love my Spanx. Oh, my God.
So do I. But I just feel so much... It's like you feel toned, you know, and certainly at my age, you know, I exercise a lot, I run a lot, but it's still, I am not toned. But as soon as I put on support underwear, it's like suddenly, you know, hey.
I said last time with Anton de Beck, you know, he commented, Shirley, you're looking really nice this evening. And I just hitched my skirt up and those Spanx came to my knees. And think of that then, Anton. It went home to him, mate. It just shattered all his illusions. Was this, you know, coming past my kneecaps, but that was okay. It was only
past your kneecaps and then squidging the flesh down.
Oh, squeeze it, baby. Squeeze.
Oh my goodness me. But I love, you know, so you've got confidence now, which is fantastic. But when you were growing up, you've been bullied basically for decades. Isn't that right? You know, at school and by a American husband.
Industry, through some husbands, through people always saying I was too heavy. Fat was used a word all the time, which gave me this just awful feeling of how I looked, which I still struggle with today. I'd be 61 coming up soon, and it's still a struggle for me. It's an ongoing battle all the time. Mm. Ongoing.
Mm. But people don't bully now, do they, as much as they used to?
My industry will always be full of bullying, always. It always. It's a man-dominated industry, and the way that some of them treat and speak to women is really unacceptable. Maybe, and perhaps it'll start changing, because obviously when somebody has a voice and they can speak out, it makes people think before they throw shit basically in your face. Mm. So, you know, hopefully it will get better. But for sure, from men at the top, even men now that talk to me and friendly to my face that have had a 6-inch knife like that in my back for many years.
Really?
I'm so you know what? I forgive and I move on. I don't want to make it my issue. It's their issue. It's not mine. So I'm fine to talk to everybody. And my good friend says to me, I don't know how you can talk to that person. That they've done this, this, and this. I said, if I didn't talk to people who'd been mean to me, I wouldn't be able to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
That's
also,
the success is the best form of revenge. And if we're talking about revenge, but I mean, if we see each other, if you can name a new names for me, will you give me permission to go and stab them in the back or in the behalf?
You see, it would never be me that would ever want to retaliate. I've got a friend, actually. I won't mention his name, but he lives his life for revenge for anybody who's double-crossed him, and I don't.
Life's too short.
It's too short. It keeps moving. I've just had my 60th birthday, and now it's coming around to 61. We've been nearly 2 years in a pandemic. Who wants to be bothered with all that, to be honest? So if they've got an issue and they want to slag me off and she's fat and she's this and she's ugly and she's rude and she connived here and she connived there, if they want to do that, good for them.
Mm. Well, it's that old adage. It's like what other people think of you is none of our business.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a good thing. It's a difficult statement to live by, but it's a goodie. And I'm always saying that to my children if they're, you know, being hurt or someone's upsetting them. But again, going back to I love this. We're hardly talking about anything. I had all these questions.
Oh, I've got my underwear to show you and all my.
I just don't care. I just love, you know, sod the podcast and my wardrobe malfunction. This is just so brilliant. I could talk to you for hours. Okay, so how long did you live in America for, and what was that like?
I left Great Britain when I was about 23.
Okay.
I lived in Houston, Texas, where my son was born. Okay. And then I moved back to Great Britain in 1990. And then did my career, won a second time, you know, with my husband. And then when my son left at 21, he went to do Dancing with the Stars. I just locked up I locked up this house and I moved there, got an apartment. And I lived there for over 11 years.
Wow.
And I came back, one, because my mum got cancer, and two, because of the commitment for the show. And I wanted to I wanted to give it 150% of my time. So the show for me isn't just going on a Saturday evening. The show continues when I go on the train and I meet people. It's when I go into town and fans come up and they want a little cuddle or they want a photograph or they want to feel part of you. To me, it's in for a penny and a pound. I wanted to be 100% in the whole thing. So that's why I moved back.
And how long were you married for to your American husband? What was he called? Corky. Corky.
His real name was Mark Alexander Corky Ballas Jr. And his dad named him, you know, the Corky bit. I was married to him over 22 years.
Bloody hell, Shirley. And you were in America pretty much for all of that time?
Well, America, then we moved over.
Then you moved back here, okay.
And then we won again in 1996. After.
And that was with him? With
him, Corky. I took him from a beginner.
You're joking.
No, it's a long story. You'd need a whole other podcast for all the husbands and all the dramas that went on. But basically, I won in 1983 with my first husband, left in this drama, ran off to America, decided after a few months I'd made a mistake. I wanted to come back. My first husband wouldn't have me. My mother says, you made your bed, lie in it. So that's what I did. And then I thought, but I want to dance. So I trained my second husband from a beginner, went back to the very first round after winning, being the champion. I was right at the bottom and then did this, moved up. And then in 1995, beat my first husband that I'd won with in 83. So that was like a.
What a moment.
An interesting journey. My life has been an interesting journey for sure.
And do you feel settled now? I mean, do you feel you've done all these incredible things, lived, you know, in America, la, 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 la. I mean, do you feel you've found a place where you're kind of, okay, I'm good now. No,
I don't think I'll ever be settled. My heart is torn because my son lives in Los Angeles with his beautiful wife. I know that they're going to start a family at some part. Do I want to be part of those children's lives? Of course I do. So it's just figuring out, you know, am I here for the run of Strictly? Shall I spend some more time there? How do I balance it with everything that's going on? So it's all balance, but I will never truly feel settle like this is my armchair. Oh yes, and this is how it's going to be for the next 10 years, and that's what makes my life exciting.
Yeah.
I don't really know, you know, will I keep this job next year? Will I move back to America? Will my grandchildren dance? Is my son come? You know, it's difficult.
But do you still have dreams? And if so, what are they? Do you have a dream still?
I've got bucket list dreams. I would like to jump out of aeroplanes. I would like to go on a safari and save the rhinos and the elephants. And I would like to get involved with the animals and the planet. And, you know, those types of things I would like to do more of. I'd like to have a beautiful holiday with my son and his wife and things like that, you know. So.
But career-wise, because you've had your autobiography, you've had immense success dancing, you've been, you know, you've reached the top, the tip top in the ballroom dancing world. Is there anything that you aspire to still in your career?
My boyfriend thinks I could be an actress. So of course I've done panto, but I would be open to doing like a spot on Coronation Street, or I would like to do some presenting. I'd like to have my own radio show. I would like to communicate with the general public, but not just like short things. I would like to be able to talk to them properly and give people time. So my door is always open to writing another book or doing different things, going on tour, maybe even dancing at my age. I just did a full show of an audience with Shirley Ballas, and a lot of it was I was dancing with this young chap called Luke Miller, and it was fantastic. So
can we see that anywhere? Can I watch that anywhere? Is that online?
There's bits and bobs. If you put in Luke Miller and Shirley Ballas, an audience with little bits of the show that come up, but the whole thing wasn't filmed.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
And definitely going to be
Anton DeBeck. I want to do an American Foxtrot with Anton DeBeck. And I want to do it to the song Roses and Violets. There's a beautiful Viennese waltz out there called Roses and Violets by Alexander Jean. And that I would like to dance to that music with Anton DeBeck.
Oh,
and not just 1 second, you know, because I think people think, oh, they're old, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, honey, I can do 2 minutes. and still be standing at the end and put a lot of them to shame. Come on now.
Let me do it with
Anton de Beck.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second. You'll be out there.
And you just mentioned your boyfriend who you met during Panto.
I did.
And he's like my husband's younger than me, and he's younger than you, which is high five. I celebrate that all the way. And how long have you been together now?
It'll be 3 years coming up this Christmas.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And we locked down together. We went from seeing each other one day a week to living together 24/7. So that was, we really got to know each other. So I think that was like a 6 years that we condensed into the pandemic. So there's a positive.
Exactly. And that could have gone tits up, but it didn't. So,
have gone titties up and it didn't. Absolutely correct.
Fantastic. That's so good. And have you ever had, or what has been your worst wardrobe malfunction? You must have had endless when you were dancing. But when have your clothes really let you down?
Two times. So lots of them, but two times that are worth mentioning. One was just before I was about to walk on for my first show of Strictly, and I've still got the dress upstairs. And I had dropped my weight down to something like a size 6, and the dress was a little snug. And just as I took a step up, the zip went zzz, and the whole thing was hanging. And there was, oh my God, needle and cotton, get the needle and cotton, headdress, hold. It's live TV, we can't hold, get us again. It was a mess. There was people trying to get me in, pin me in, don't turn this way, just walk in a straight line and back up to your seat so they couldn't see it, you know. It's live TV, the show has to go on. And then another time at the All England Championships, I wore a very beautiful purple dress and the weight of the dress spun and the knicker broke, broke. And that was it, darling. That was, meat and veg all on show there.
For sure. That was filthy.
And I kept I grabbed the skirt, I pulled it across. Of course, it kept slipping and people were clapping and cheering and the whole nine yards. So it was like, you've got to keep going, haven't you?
You got, the show must go on always. Oh God, I can't imagine. I don't know how you did that. That is, oh my God, I just can't imagine that with everything on display. And then you just kept going.
Everything on display, darling. Everything was on display. iPhones back then, so thank goodness it's not on an iPhone.
Yeah, thank God. I think you might have to reenact that though, because I would love to see that.
We'll rain check on that.
Oh, my darling. But hey, when you were touring around the world, did you have a sort of comfort blanket? I know your beloved brother, who very sadly, David, isn't it, who passed away when he was very young, 44. I'm so sorry about that. And you have his ashes in an urn, which I do, saying with my mum. My mum's in an urn. And is that something, do you carry anything around with you always that's like your comfort blanket?
Well, nowadays I take a photograph of my brother and one of my son. But back in the day, this bad boy here used to go in the suitcase. It's got tigers on. And this was Mark's pillow. And, he used to have it on his bed. And his little ring that he bought me when he was really like 5, I've never taken it off. And in actual fact, I had this, cut that I've just had this 6 stitches in. And this ring was on this finger and they wanted to cut it off. And I told them, you have to find a way of getting that ring off, but your hand would need 6 stitches. It's swollen. It's no, we're not cutting the ring. They had everything on it, oil, this, that. Anyway, they managed to get it off and have it. So the ring and the pillow, Mark's pillow when I'm traveling. Oh. And nowadays, since he's grown, he's 35 now, I take a small picture of my brother and my son with me.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And the ring, is that, do you think the reason you've never lost it is because you can't get it off? Do you think, because I lose everything except the things that I never take off.
It's got all little hearts in. Every little heart is a hug and a kiss for me from him. So I just don't take it off. I just don't.
Yeah.
And my mother's bracelet she bought me when I was 40. I never take that off.
Beautiful. So nice. So I'm going to look out for both those things on Strictly. Make sure you're telling the truth, which I know you are. And so, Shirley, they couldn't get the ring off. And why did you have to have stitches in your hand?
Well, I was on a job somewhere, which I can't say at the moment which one it was, and I was washing a glass in the sink, and I was doing this with my hand and pushing my hand in the glass, and the glass just broke, and it really took the biggest chunk out of my hand. So they sent me straight away to the emergency. I had cut the tendon on the side, so they had to stitch that and then six stitches to keep it together, and it's much, much better now. I'll need some hand therapy and different exercises, but it is on the mend. But it, for that split second, and I'm sure you'll see it on the TV program because they'll show it, there was blood everywhere. I mean, you wouldn't think such a, you know, small piece of flesh could create so much.
Let's see the stitches. Hold on.
They've just come out.
Oh, my God, you poor thing. And can you move your little digit? Can you move your pinky? Okay?
Yeah, getting there.
Yeah, poor you. Okay, well, I'm glad it's recovering. So have you, because, you know, you're always, the nature of your job, you're always glamorous, because that's what you have to be. So what if you're going out to an event or something and you want to wear something really special that makes you, and I think I know what you're going to say about this, but the equivalent of a birthday suit, something that makes you feel a million bloody
dollars. Here it is.
Oh my God,
Shirley.
These go underneath with my lovely little stockings. It's when I go out on a date with my boyfriend.
Okay, well, look, can we just say, we're looking at some underwear which almost looks like it's come from a sex shop, I'm not going to lie, and a beautiful fuchsia pink.
It's Anne Summer. Yes, it's beautiful. I have this. If I want to feel special with him, I wear those, or I have these little greeny things. Okay.
So birthday suit is all about underwear. And now, because you had a boob job, didn't you, a while ago, because Corky wanted it. And I remember when you mentioned that, and I thought, oh God, she's so lucky. And it's made such a huge difference, actually, to you. I've noticed, you know, having watched you, and to see, because boobs get in the way, so... But I love the fact, are you feeling sexier now that you've had you've got the augmentations taken out?
I feel marvellous. And I just had my mammogram and all the tests came back clear. So I'm really delighted.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually Corky who told me to have those boobs done. I had them done because I thought it was going to make me feel more special for him.
Okay.
And my advice to anybody is you have to do it because it's what you want. You can't do it for somebody else because things have a way of changing. Mm-hmm. And then they became uncomfortable and then they were tilted and it was uncomfortable to sleep. And when I eventually found a great surgeon to take them out, I didn't just want to take the breast implants out. I wanted to take out all that grew around them, which is like a big piece of fillet steak. Ooh. And off that fillet steak, you get all these things that wrap around the ribs and they took it all out. So it was a 4-hour operation. But I have two scars underneath, you know, but Danny says that them a smiley face.
Oh my God, but he sounds heaven.
I feel so much better. I do.
Yeah.
Hence now, only recently, like I say, when I go out with him, I don't wear the Spanx, but I try to wear the pretty underwear, you know, and then the nice tops on top, but that's just for Danny and my Spanx when I'm working.
Yeah, Spanx when you're working. And one thing I do say, the outfit that I think you look best in is, and you've worn it maybe once, I've seen you wear it once or twice, is the sort of tailored dinner suit, man's tailored smoking jacket.
You know, I had that when I had my boobs taken out, Alexandra, because they still had the tubes. I had the operation on Tuesday and went back to work on a Saturday when it's a 6-week recovery. So, and I didn't want to miss a week. So Alexandra got me a very, very soft blouse, no bra, soft blouse, little tie, and then that beautiful black dinner suit. She got that 150% right. She really did. It was comfortable. Even though I was, you know, in pain, it was still comfortable. Yeah, I love that look.
Yeah, it really suits you.
Yeah.
All right, my darling. Well, I could, oh my God, we've been speaking for hours. I could talk to you forever. And I regret even more now that I didn't get to know you when I was doing Strictly, because you're a superstar. And I wish you so much success for the next series. And I'll definitely be watching and send you the biggest kiss in the world.
Well, maybe you'll get to come in if they have an audience. Maybe you'll get to come back and we can have a drink in the tent.
A little catch up.
Loud and a little catch up. It's so good. And keep your dancing up. Remember, it's just movement to music. And when you move to music, you feel that much better.
I can guarantee you I will never ballroom dance again. You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, you're just wonderful. And so give a big kiss to Audrey and tell her from me she needs to go on Gogglebox.
I will.
It'll cheer the world up.
I hope the country's ready for Auds.
Auds, get Auds out there. All right. Shirley, have a wonderful rest of the day. And I send you so much love and thank you.
Thank you, Susanna. Thank you.
Take care. Oh, Shirley, 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 what a joyful, wonderful lady you are. Thanks so much for your time. I might even dust off my old dancing shoes. Okay, maybe not. Right, before we go, remember that we and our house band duo are taking My Ward Mal on the road for one night only on Sunday, 7th of November at the Yvonne Arnaud Mill Studio. Starting at 7:45 p.m. GMT and streaming everywhere from 8 p.m. We'd love you to join us. Go to our show notes for tickets or our website, mywardmal.com. You can also drop us a line by emailing help@mywardmal.com. Follow us at mywardmal, and we'd be so grateful too if you'd subscribe, rate and review us on your chosen podcast platform. By the way, you can find Duo at duoguitarmusic.com or at Duo Guitar Music on their socials. Right, that's it. Thanks so much again to Shirley, to Duo, and of course, thanks to you for listening. Catch up soon. Until then, my wardrobe is officially closed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.